From WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
Hey, what is going on, beautiful people? Happy, happy, happy hump day. Yes, it's Wednesday already, September 17th. I have to, before I begin today's show, I want to shout out my little sister. She's turning 10 years old today. Al loves you. Hope you have a good one, baby. Oh, man. But, hey, we have a great show in store for you, though. We will talk some Lions as they bring in some new personnel in light of in lieu of Nate Freeze's just struggles on Sunday. My goodness. The Tigers, they fall to the Twins. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about Jameis Winston as some breaking news has just dropped concerning him. And Barbershop Wednesday, that's right. We'll debate and discuss, when does discipline go too far? The Adrian Peterson case. Yes, you don't want to miss all of that and so much more, folks. But as custom here on the show, here's the man behind the glass, Alex Sharp, with your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners.
Good afternoon and happy hump day. I'm Alex Sharg, and these are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners for Wednesday, September 17th. J'Rue Campbell, the Detroit Cass Tech football star, accused of assaulting his girlfriend last week, who was arraigned on a probation this morning for an earlier assault, is now being investigated in connection with an alleged assault in the Wayne County Jail. Campbell served time in the jail for an assault on a school security officer earlier this year that was caught on video and widely circulated. Wayne County Sheriff's Office confirms that an alleged assault involving Campbell at the jail is being currently investigated. Brian Cole, a star wideout from Heritage High School in Saginaw, was held out the first quarter of their meeting with Midland Dow on Friday. The Saginaw News is reporting that disciplinary reasons kept Cole out of the game. Then, after debuting in the second quarter, Cole was whistled for two quick unsportsmanlike conduct penalties and was ejected from the game. The ejection will likely carry a one-game suspension along with it. The senior is a University of Michigan commit and the consensus top high school football player in the state of Michigan for 2015. On the other hand, Spartan football fans received some good news yesterday. Starting defensive tackle Damon Knox could be back in time for MSU's Big Ten opener, October 4th against Nebraska. MSU coach Mark D'Antonio said, quote, "I think so," end quote, on Tuesday when asked if Knox will be back for conference play. He has been out since preseason camp after an undisclosed surgery. And one more note for MSU, season ticket sales have been totaled at 61,931, which is the second most in school history. Number one on the list is 2012, when MSU sold 63,381. It was a game filled with highs and lows for the Detroit Tigers last night against the Minnesota Twins, but they couldn't get it done against the Minnesota Twins last night. With the Tigers down 2-1 out from losing, J.D. Martinez hit a 3-run homer in the ninth to put them ahead 3-2. Then the Twins used a walk and two well-placed hits to score twice in the ninth off, guess who, Joe Nathan, to win 4-3 at Target Field. The Tigers are assured of being in first place when they open their three-game series in Kansas City on Friday night, but wait, they still have the rubber match tonight against the Twins at 8 p.m. David Price takes the mound against Kyle Gibson. A $450 million bond financing plan was approved yesterday for an expansive entertainment district that will include a new 18,000 hockey seat arena for the Detroit Red Wings. The city's Downtown Development Authority passed the plan, which now has to be approved by the Michigan Strategic Fund. The fund would issue the bonds for the project just set north of downtown. As further proof that the Detroit Lions lack faith in struggling rookie kicker Nate Freeze, the team reportedly worked out three veteran kickers on Tuesday. According to ESPN, the Lions brought in Rob Ronis, Garrett Hartley, and Alex Henery in for workouts at their Allen Park facility. Teams often work out free agents at their facility when players have an off day on Tuesdays. Hartley, at 28, has the strongest ties to Lions coaches. He was with New Orleans from 2008 to 2013, where he worked with offensive coordinator Joe Lombardi and special teams coordinator John Bonamega. Minnesota Vikings running back Adrian Peterson has been placed on the NFL's exempt list, barring him from all team activities until his child abuse case is resolved. Peterson was indicted last week in Montgomery County, Texas, on a felony count of reckless negligent injury to a child. The charge stems from a whipping incident that left bruises and wounds on his 4-year-old son. Peterson's next scheduled court date is October 8th, unless he negotiates to have the matter resolved at an earlier date. Montgomery County First Assistant District Attorney Phil Grant said it could be several months before the case would go to trial. And according to Vikings General Manager Rick Spielman, Peterson will still be paid under the exemption. Can you believe that? A grand jury will decide whether NASCAR driver Tony Stewart should be charged in the death of a sprint car driver at a short track in upstate New York from this summer. Stewart struck and killed driver Kevin Ward, who came out of his car on the track at a motorsports park while the August 9th race was under caution. Ontario County, New York District Attorney Michael Tantillo said in a statement Tuesday that evidence gathered by his office will be forwarded to a grand jury. And those are your current sports quick hit headliners for this Wednesday, September 17th. Time to send it back to Al to start the show. The lines are now open.
All right, my man, Alex Shark, thanks a lot for the quick hit headliners. Again, if you want to call in and give your thoughts on anything, and I mean anything that we talk about on the show today, you can, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You can also leave a comment on our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports and even tweet me at AlMartinWKR or go to our new Twitter page just for Current Sports. That's right, folks. If you're getting tired of following me and hearing me rant all the time and just want to follow the show, you can follow us at WKAR_sports. Okay, we'll be tweeting throughout the entire show. And folks, you do not want to miss this show. I feel remiss because I didn't mention at the top of the hour that, yes, I sat down with the Magic Man, Irvin Magic Johnson, yesterday over at Lansing Everett High School. It's pretty cool because Lansing, Magic was in town because at Lansing Everett, they are adopting a new cafeteria food initiative, and Magic Johnson is a part of it. They have got rid of Aramark and enforce now Sodexo Magic. Now, Sodexo, Magic Johnson is a 51% shareholder or owner, I should say, when it comes to Sodexo, and Magic has decided to bring Sodexo to Lansing Everett. So he's in town to sort of promote it, meet with officials and other media members, including WKAR. So I sat down with Magic and picked his brain on the new initiative over at Lansing Everett, as well as his thoughts on domestic violence in sports, his work ethic over at Lansing Everett when he played and how he progressed as a basketball player year to year to year, and also just how it feels to be returning home to Lansing to visit and seeing his family and friends. So you will get to hear that interview in my sit down with Magic during our second segment of today's show. So you do not want to miss that, folks. And I want to remind you all, because I was getting some emails and some tweets from those of you who follow the show, not only on the radio, but on television as well. And we are taking a 2-week hiatus from Current Sports TV. We'll be back in action, though, starting October 1st, that Wednesday. I'll be sitting down with Robert Huntoon, who is the general manager of Lansing's very own minor league football team, the Lansing Area Capital City Stealth. So you do not want to miss that, folks. So we're taking a break for 2 weeks with Current Sports TV. We'll be back on the air the week of October 1st. You can sign up for that live studio audience by going online and sign up for free at WKAR.org, folks. But so much to talk about in today's show. Really quickly, some headliners that didn't make the cut for Alex to run down, but I definitely have to mention the Baltimore Orioles. They clinched the first AL East title in 17 years with an 8-2 win over the Toronto Blue Jays last night. And the Washington Nationals also clinched their second NL East title in 3 years with a 3-0 win over the Atlanta Braves last night. So two more make the playoffs. Red Wings defenseman Danny DeKeyser, a product of Western Michigan hockey, he signed a 2-year, reportedly approximately about a $2.2 million deal yesterday, just in time for training camp, which is set to start Friday morning in Traverse City. And the NFL and Players Union agreed to a new PED and drug policy, including testing for human growth hormone. How about that? Now, Josh Gordon's suspension will be reduced from 16 to 10 games. So we'll see how that one pans out as well. And the Lions, they sign Danny Gore over other free agents, including Champ Bailey. So Champ does not get signed. They are also continuing to work out kickers, as Alex just mentioned in our quick hit headliner. So much to talk about, so little time. And have you seen this? I mean, this just broke, folks. Literally like 10 minutes before we took the air at 1 o'clock for Current Sports Radio, we go to ESPN and see this story. Florida State quarterback Jameis Winston has been suspended for the first half of Saturday's game against Clemson after he was seen shouting an obscene sexual phrase on campus Tuesday. Now, looking at the logistics of this story, FSU interim president Dr. Garnett S. Stokes and athletic director Stan Wilcox, they denounced Winston's offensive and vulgar behavior in a statement today. I'm telling you, like moments ago, folks, to announce the punishment, saying, quote, "As university's most visible ambassadors, student athletes at Florida State are expected to uphold at all times high standards of integrity and behavior that reflect well upon themselves, their families, coaches, teammates, the Department of Athletics of FSU. Student athletes are expected to act in a way that reflects dignity and respect for others," end quote. And it's just some of the statement that they issued concerning Jameis Winston. Again, on Tuesday, this is what happened. Jameis Winston, I guess, decided to stand on a table, allegedly stand on a table. I guess this took place in the student union. Stand on a table in the student union, yell obscenities, mimicking a popular internet video, and yelling out a phrase that has some sort of sexual nature. So they have decided to sit Jameis Winston out for one half against Clemson, a pretty big game for FSU as well this Saturday. So we'll talk about that, folks. I'm sure many thoughts are running through your noggin as you hear about this breaking news. Again, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We'll take your thoughts on that as well as anything that we discuss here on the show. We'll save that discussion and save my rant for that for the third segment, for today's Current Sports. But in the meantime, so much to talk about, so little time. And also included, I have to mention this. I mean, this is such a big news. Everything is happening right now. I'm seeing that Joe Rexrow tweeted that starting offensive guard Connor Cruz is expected to be back next week. So good news for you Spartan football fans out there. Alex Shark, how you doing, my brother? You all right?
Hell yeah. You recovering from your fantasy woes yet? I know it's been...
I am all recovered. I'm still licking my wounds a little bit, though. I'm still a little salty about everything. But you know what? Hey, you know, I always go back to the year that the New York Giants won the Super Bowl. You remember they started the week 0-2. Remember that? And they went on to win the Super Bowl. So there is still hope. I'm keeping hope alive. I do not go down without a fight, okay? I'm going down kicking and screaming. All right. But anyway, how you doing, though, man?
You're pretty good. Pretty good, Al. I'm excited to get into our debate later today about this whole, really when it's too far for discipline.
Right, with Adrian Peterson. Because I'm surprised we have not talked about that yet on the show.
Right.
So I'm excited to dive into that. I have an interesting take on that. When does discipline go too far? And again, folks, our phone lines will be open for that discussion as well. Again, as you talked about in our headliners, Alex, Adrian Peterson, looking at this whole story. I mean, it's really alarming to see how much, I guess you could say, press the NFL has been getting as of late with all of the sexual, or I should say domestic assault cases that are going on with Greg Hardy, with Ray Rice, and now Peterson coming out with this, you know, with the excessive punishment of his child and how the NFL is handling this.
Right,
I mean,
right.
It's really, really alarming stuff, and we will definitely dive into that.
There are some happy lawyers out there, Al.
Yeah, getting
very
paid.
Happy attorneys.
Dollar bill, y'all. Right? You gotta feel good if you're a lawyer out there right now. If you're a part of that case, but all right, we'll get to that. But first off, we have to bring up. Let's start with the Lions because this was certainly not surprising news for me. Seeing as though Nate Freeze, has not been great. He has not been great. Again, as further proof that the Detroit Lions, they lack faith in Nate Freeze, who missed two field goals on Sunday. ESPN reported that the Lions brought in three kickers in for workouts at the Allen Park facility for the Lions. Not surprised, because I tell you what, this kicker should be the last problem or the last thought of need for the Lions at this point. You know what I mean? I mean, that should not be something that the Lions should be stressing themselves over.
Yep.
But again, this is a rookie, Nate Freeze, who obviously seemed to be rattled, has been rattled throughout his first few outings and throughout his, especially looking at the Carolina Panthers game. I mean, chip shots. I mean, field goals that he should be making, he missed on Sunday. A glaring need. His job was on the line. I don't think, I think he's going to be released soon, to be honest with you. You can't, as a kicker, especially as a rookie kicker, I mean, you have to be pretty consistent off the bat for him to come off the bat and have the outing that he had, hey, it's no surprise that they bring in three kickers. I would have done the same thing. I would have done the exact same thing. But for me, you know, what's really alarming, looking at the Lions when they fell to the Panthers this past week, or listen to different radio shows, listen to different Facebook messages that I've gotten personally, and different discussions I've had with a few of few friends of mine. You know, they're like in panic mode right now. I want to say, folks, hold on. It's only week two here. It's still a long season. I understand, you know, the Lions didn't look like the same old Lions on Sunday. But this is just the beginning. This is just the beginning of the season. So, fans, don't panic. You know, and I have to bring up this as well, because I thought it was a very well-done article put together by Anthony Kuhn of the Detroit Free Press, which did a pretty interesting column on the Detroit Lions on what did you expect. That's like the title and the overall feeling of his column today. And the reason why he says this is what did you expect coming off of the loss to the Carolina Panthers is, you know, he has also, and many people have been feeling a sense of panic from a lot of Lions fans that feel as though, okay, looking at that Panthers game, I mean, they look like the same old Lions last year. But looking at Jim Caldwell, what did you expect coming off, you know, 5 years under Jim Schwartz? You know, 5 years of OTAs, 5 years of constant practices, 5 years being under Jim Schwartz. Did you really think that Jim Caldwell off the bat was going to come in here and produce magic to start the season? You got to give him time. You got to give him time here. And it's something that I totally agree with. I mean, looking at the problems the Lions had last year specifically, I mean, problems with discipline, problems with penalties, just sporadic decisions, turnovers. Those are things that sort of eroded over time when it came to Jim Schwartz. I think you really have to give Jim Caldwell, you can't bash the man yet just for one bad game at the top of the year. Give him some time, fans. I mean, again, this going back to my whole fantasy football spiel, the New York Giants, they started the season 0-2 and ended up winning a Super Bowl. It's a progressive feel under a new head coach in a new system. So don't panic yet, fans, but I do see where a lot of fans are coming from, but it's too premature for me, Alex.
Yeah, a bunch of points you hit on there. From the first point about the kickers, I'm looking here, and the stat shows that all three kickers that they brought in have above an 81% career field goal percentage. Now, there are two thoughts I have with this. One, when you're looking for a kicker, you're looking 90% or above most of the time. Ideally, you have about a 90% career field goal percentage or that season percentage with that team. You look at the best kickers in the league, they're up in the 95%. I mean, the Nick Novaks of the world, and I mean, even Mason Crosby being somewhat young, he started off pretty well, you know, and with some really high numbers from Green Bay. But you're looking at a lot higher numbers than 81%. The second thing, why in the world are these guys free agents if they're that good? I mean, the kickers that they're bringing in, you got a kicker from the New Orleans Saints. I remember Garrett Hartley kicking. You got Rob Aronis, who I also remember. And I remember Rob Aronis being bottom of the league for field goal percentage, I think, when he was with the Titans. Mm-hmm. But maybe not career, but when he was. So you got to take it for a grain of salt. It's the same reason why the David Akers struggled last year. He got up in their age. His field goal percentage was nearly not what it was early in his career. These guys aren't going to come in there and be the next Nick Novaks, okay? They're not going to be the top of the cream of the crop. They're going to be probably just as worse, if not.
No. Nate Freeze? No.
I mean, he's a rookie, Al. You got to give him time.
I disagree, Alex. I think when you look at it, anytime a rookie comes in, and I don't care what position it is. I don't care if it's offensive tackle, if it's cornerback, if it's linebacker. If a rookie comes in and doesn't produce off the bat as a starter, I mean, there's not much of a case you can make for that individual, seeing as though they have no past track record that you can go to and say, okay, well, at this point in time, he was very efficient and very consistent. You can't do that with a rookie kicker. If a rookie kicker comes in and misses three of his first five field goal attempts for the season, I mean, you got fans out there saying, and many people, many media alike saying, "Hey, off with his head!" At the start of the year, you can't come in as a rookie and perform that bad. Now, I do understand, you know, both of the attempts on Sunday were 49-yard attempts. And Freese was 70-for-81 in college in college field goal attempts during his whole college career. But if you come off the bat to an organization in the NFL and you produce that poorly to start, I mean, it's not much of a – there's not much of a – the leash isn't that long on it at all. So I definitely agree with them bringing a new kicker. I think you have to bring in a new kicker, or it looks like you're not doing anything to solve the problem in many people's eyes.
Al.
Period.
Jason Hansen's first year, I just had some of the interns here look it up. Jason Hansen cooked 80% his first year. He missed 5 field goals his first year. So it's not like you're expected to come in there and make all your field goals. He's still less than Jason Hansen. Yes, it's week 2.
Right.
I get that.
Right.
But
you can't miss 3 of your 5 field goal attempts to start a season as a rookie. You can't do that. That's just simply, you can't do that, especially with a team where you have all of these expectations. The expectations are pretty high for the Lions this year.
Yeah.
They are huge this year, if you ask me. I mean,
sure.
The highest they've been is quite some time. You got Calvin Johnson saying, this is the year we win the Super Bowl. If you got to worry about your kicker, of all people, your kicker missing field goals, how does that bode as far as consistent efficiency for this team moving forward? You got to do something to solve the problem.
Yeah,
let's say Caldwell didn't do anything here, didn't bring in people to work out. How would that look from a perception standpoint?
I agree. No, but like I said, I think the right move is to work out these kickers.
Right.
But I'd still give Nate Freese a little bit more time. I'm not ready to sail the boat on Nate Freese quite yet. And because it's not like the field goals he missed 2 against Carolina, it's not like those field goals even mattered. The Lions were so bad
that game.
Look at the scoreboard.
I know, but if he makes those field goals, I mean, there's a thing called momentum, and momentum is huge when it comes to the NFL. That kind of spot, just to see points go on the board for the Lions. That could have done a lot mentally.
Now you're getting to the would have, could have, should have.
That could have done a lot mentally for the Lions on Sunday. Trust me, especially with a team that, in the first half, and just looking at the first half alone, I thought the Lions, they were in position to win that game. Things went totally haywire in the second half where there were a lot of mental mistakes and so on and so forth. And I think a made field goal, there's a lot as far as the mentality and consistency for a team goes. I mean, from a confidence standpoint, hey, who knows? It could have boosted the Lions' confidence offensively just to see some sort of points go on the board for that team.
So
who knows what would have happened?
So you're telling me.
I'm not saying they would have won the game if he makes those 2 field goals. I'm not saying that. But it does something confidence-wise for an offense seeing points go on the board and not wasted drives near the red zone.
It could be. But the reason they lost the game was because their defense was just horrible.
Hey, and I got a stat for you on that one. Did you know? And it's a lot of people are harping on this, and I harp on it all the time. I'm pretty salty that the Lions didn't draft a corner and it went so on and so forth. I think the Lions' secondary is one of the worst in the NFL. But did you know, with that being said, the Lions have the second-best defense in the league right now after week 2?
Wow.
The second-best defense in the league is held down by the Detroit Lions.
What stat?
NFL.com,
what is it, yards? Total yards
allowed? Yards allowed. Exactly. And a plethora of that. They have the Lions ranked as #2 defense in the league.
Well, they played the Giants,
I didn't even know that. But again, it's still early, though. So these stats are skewed in that way because you don't have a big sample size. But right now, looking at the first 2 games, the defense hasn't been the problem for the Lions.
Maybe you should pick up Lions defense in your so-called fantasy league.
Yeah, I should. You really harping on my fan. I'm about to jump through this glass in a minute. No, I'm joking. But no, I'm telling you, man, the Lions right now, their defense hasn't been the problem right now. If you look at it, it was turnovers. And it was – ideally, it was really just turnovers for me. For me, it was – the big thing for me was turnovers. I mean, looking at Stafford throwing that last pick, that interception, and he just heaved it up to Calvin Johnson, that was big. Matthew Stafford and his old habits, the fumbles. We saw a lot of drop passes during that game, too. We saw a lot of mental errors for this Lions team. So to harp on the kicker, I get it because he's a rookie, and you can't miss – 2 field goals and go 3-of-5 in your first 2 games. You just can't do that. Something needs to be done. But there's a bigger spectrum to this whole thing. But Lions fans shouldn't panic here. This is still a playoff team, I believe. I think they will make a lot of noise once they make the playoffs. Yes, I'm already declaring I think the Lions will make the playoffs.
And they need
patience.
They need to audition 1 more kicker.
You think so?
Ndamukong Suh.
Ndamukong Suh,
try him out again.
Oh, my goodness. They need to bring Kickalicious back, because I watched that YouTube video with Kickalicious. Remember that YouTube video we checked out?
Yeah.
Kickalicious was my guy.
Well, apparently, I was looking before we went on the air on what happened to Kickalicious. He worked out with the Packers, if you remember last year.
Right.
He worked out with the Packers. They didn't offer him a deal. The Lions were trying to get him to be an international, more of like the minor league kicking internationally for the Lions. Like, they have their minor league system
Hold on, the Lions have a minor league system.
They don't, but that's what they were trying to do. But obviously, you can't do that. That's illegal. But
right.
So that's what they were trying to do. They couldn't get it done, and he's just. I mean, no other NFL team is working.
Man, pick up Kickalicious, man. If anything, he'll put butts in the seat. He was entertaining to watch. All right, well, let's transition really quickly. I have to talk about the Tigers. Oh, those Tigers! I tell you, did you watch the game?
Of course.
You watched the game?
Yep. Well, yeah, I watched six inning on, which was great. That's what mattered.
Nice. Well, I went out and got my my Al Diesel on at Planet Fitness. Came back, turned on the game. I was cooking as the game was going on. I'm sitting there. First off, I have to say this. I thought Rick Porcello, he had a quality start yesterday. Can we say that?
And great to see.
Yeah.
That was very good to see.
And that's the thing. If you look at Rick Porcello's last two outings, Rick Porcello has been relatively decent. I mean, he's had quality starts.
He's been decent all year. It was good to get out of the slump he had in August.
Right, exactly. Now, if you look at yesterday's game, he gave up two runs in the fourth and sixth inning. You know, he puts the Tigers in position to come out and have some sort of momentum to possibly win the game, which does happen. You know, J.D. Martinez, how big was that?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Tigers are, like, top five with the most, like, late inning or
changing
home runs.
Clutch hitting for the Tigers, especially these last 3 months, has been huge, 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 huge for this team. But I feel like a broken record. I feel like a broken record because every time I feel as though the Tigers have a quality start and they have the lead, you know, in a late inning situation, you know who messes it up? Do I even need to answer that?
Any closer.
You know who messed? Exactly.
Any closer.
The bullpen. That bullpen is so frustrating to watch sometimes.
It was just the closer,
and
Al.
Joe Nathan. Well,
don't blame the bullpen.
Well,
they've been good
Nathan,
lately.
Joe Nathan.
The
Let's
closer.
Call him out. Joe Nathan
Multiple
came in.
Multiple closers.
He had an opportunity to close the game out. They knocked two off of him, and boom, game over right there. I'm sitting like, you have to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. And they scored twice off Joe Nathan. Joe Nathan has not been great all year. I'm looking at it here. Joe Nathan picks up his fourth loss on the year. And among closers with at least, I mean, I'll tell you what, our interns have done a great job. They're doing a great job digging up some stats for us. Among closers with at least 50 appearances, Nathan ranks last, dead last, in ERA, whip, and is tied for the most blown saves at 7. You got to be kidding me. You have to be kidding me. Joe Nathan has been horrid. Terrible. Terrible, terrible, terrible. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, you get a great start by Rick Porcello. You get clutch hitting with JD's bomb. And then you can't even depend on your closer to close out the game and seal the deal.
The only thing I want to talk about for 5 to 10 minutes isn't the bullpen. It's not the consistency in hitting. It's where do you draw the line for Nathan? How much longer does he have until he loses his role? I mean, how much more time do you give?
You know how I am. I'm ruthless. You know, if I'm the Lion, if I'm Dombrowski or you know some you know Brad Ausmus, hey, the leash has been cut off.
For me, this was the line.
This
for
is
me.
It. Yeah,
you
this
agree?
Is it. I mean, this is the Tigers team. There's no more.
It's September.
There are no more opportunities for him to grow and prove otherwise. It's about to be October now. You know, the Tigers are fighting for their playoff lives right now. Thank goodness the Kansas City Royals, they fell to Chicago last night. We'll be looking at a very, 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 you know, even more stringent position that we are in right now. Half-game lead. It could have been a half-game lead after last night. But it is a game and a half, seeing as though Kansas City lost. But with all that being said, I totally agree. I think to Joe Nathan right now, a change needs to happen. It needs to happen right now. And I am still not confident in this Tigers team. I still think they will make the playoffs. But again, once the playoffs start, I don't think the Tigers are winning the World Series, man.
Not with who they have at closing right now.
Not at all. Exactly. It's too many question marks. I mean,
now,
the Tigers are the best six-inning team in baseball. I always say that because you can't depend on, other than the close, you can't depend on the bullpen, period. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can't harp on anything positive for this Tigers team right now, as far as that is concerned.
Now, the Tigers did try to acquire Chad Qualls, and that thing's still sort of in the works. I haven't really seen him yet. I don't know. Maybe we'll have the interns check about what happened with that. But regardless, do you question putting Soria in that role? Former closer. Very good record as a closer. Very good numbers.
Yeah, but even Soria has had it up and down.
Yeah,
year.
But would
you know?
It be better than Nathan? Regardless of how bad
anything,
he's been.
I'm better than Joe Nathan. Throw me in. Give me a jersey right now. I'm better than Joe Nathan, so that's not saying much. But I do see where you're going. A change needs to happen. I think right now, if you're Brad Ausmus, you got to change up something here. Something has to change here, and I think it will happen soon. And, folks, I'm curious. I want to get your thoughts on it because right now, I mean, it just seems to be constant frustration with this Tigers team, even though they still have a game and a half lead, on the Kansas City Royals. So, I mean, how confident are you that this team can make a postseason run? Do we have some stats? Do we have any?
Yeah, well, I just checked on Chad Qualls. We just had him pull it up.
Right.
Hip ailment. So another injury, along with Joel Hanrahan, who they acquired to close with an injury.
Right.
Bruce Rondon with an injury.
I was about to bring
and
up Rondon. Right.
And then you got your starting pitcher, Anibal Sanchez, still on the DL with an injury.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There you go. But, I mean, will they still do well? I think it's just the closing role. I mean, because...
Are you still confident in the bats now?
You figure out that come playoff time, and normally in MLB playoffs, your starting pitchers go 7 or 8 innings. All you need are 2 pitchers. Your setup and your close. You don't need to worry about middle relief. You don't need to worry about late relief. It's all about your setup and your closer. You just need 2 to 3 guys, ideally, with the kind of pitching the Tigers have starting, to close it out.
So
right now, I don't think they can go far at all. I think they'll lose first round. How embarrassing they lose to the O's, a team that wasn't even projected to be in the playoffs at the start of the year.
So do you think they will make a move?
I don't think so. What move? They already tried with Qualls. What move can they make? There aren't any moves left.
No, as far as internally.
Internally.
Will they make a move to move Joe Nathan to another spot or something?
Yeah, I think absolutely.
I think they will make a move. Right now, like I said, I'm not confident in this team. But another problem here that we haven't addressed, though, this is something I also want to harp on really, really briefly, is that looking at the Tigers batting, it's great that they get clutch hitting. But this team is so good. I believe, though, this lineup is so good that they shouldn't have to rely on late-inning clutch situations for them to pull out games. They shouldn't be in that position in the first place. When you have a starting pitcher like Rick Porcello who goes out and throws like he did yesterday,
7 innings.
You would feel as though the Tigers should be in a position to win that game. They should be ahead at that point, but they weren't. And that's something that troubles me because there have been so many times throughout this season where the Tigers have had great starting pitching, but the run support has been horrid, terrible. I'm not confident in many regards for this team. I want to get your thoughts on it, folks. 517-355-9527. 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, you will get to hear from the man, the myth, the legend, Irvin Magic Johnson. Yes, Magic returned to Lansing yesterday, and Current Sports was there. You do not want to miss that sit down. Don't touch that dial. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this hump day. Hopefully everybody's having a great hump day, a productive one, so to speak. You know what? I had a great time. I went out to Lansing Everett High School yesterday afternoon, and I got to, you know, check one thing off my bucket list, and that is to meet and or interview Magic Johnson. I got to do both yesterday at Lansing Everett as Magic returned to Lansing, to his alma mater, to enforce a new cafeteria curriculum in which Aramark, who was the previous provider for food at Lansing Everett, is now being taken over by Sodexo Magic. Clever name, right? Sodexo, of course, which had been providing food for years and years and years, they have teamed up with Magic Johnson at Lansing Everett to provide a bigger variety of food choices for the students over at the school. So Magic was in town to help promote it, to meet with Lansing officials about the new initiative. You know, it was just a political type of visit, I guess you could say. But other than that, I mean, Magic was in town to also talk to students. It was really interesting, though, because a few classes we were following Magic all around. Me and my director, Tim Elkins, we were following Magic around throughout the entire school. And as Magic talked to class to class to class. And Magic, you know, when he was talking to these students, I mean, I must be getting old because a lot of those students, they did not even know who Magic Johnson was. I couldn't believe it. It was really mind-boggling. I'm just sitting there like, oh, do you know that this is one of the greatest basketball players in the history of the game who was an alma mater at your school? I mean, I couldn't believe it. But anyhow, you know, Magic took some time out of his very, very busy schedule here in Lansing to sit down with Tim and I, and I got to pick Magic's brain about so many areas, of course, with this whole Ray Rice domestic violence case that's going on, and Greg Hardy, who's also involved with it, you know, keeping it locally. I mean, looking here as, you know, as in our Quick Hit headliners with J. Rue Campbell, who was, you know, hours after being released from jail for the whole security guard body slamming incident, he is found to be, you know, in a scuffle, I guess, with his girlfriend. He goes back in jail, then is reported to be, you know, into it with a Wayne County sheriff security guard. I mean, it's just ridiculous. You know, that's another case. And then E.J. Jackson, running back for Lansing Eastern High School, who was being accused of raping a teenage girl. Just so many instances of domestic violence, and especially in the world of football. I definitely got Magic's take on that. His return to Lansing on Sodexo Magic and so much more. But first, I started, you know, with, you know, just a fluffy question. I mean, just how does it feel to be back in your hometown?
It's a great feeling. It's probably more than I can really explain in terms of emotional, in terms of just seeing people that you grew up with, coming back to Everett High School, where I roamed these hallways and got a good education, but also, you know, was able to win a state championship here. And then when you think about just the people who had an impact in my life, I get to see all of Coach George Fox's here, Dr. Tucker, you know, all these great men who also had a hand in shaping Irvin Johnson. And so I think that's what's great. And the fact that my family get a chance to still see me, you know, come back and be a part of Lansing, and also invest in these young kids and in these incredible young people who have a chance to go on to do something great in that, with their life, if they concentrate on their education.
You know, Magic, something that really stands out to me, when I talk about, you know, talk to people who knew you growing up, mm-hmm. and grew up, you know, playing in high school ball, they always talked about your work ethic. Mm-hmm. You know, when you were playing ball here at Lansing Everett, I mean, you spent hours in the gym. It's something of legend. Mm-hmm. Do you feel as though, looking at, you know, kids today, mm-hmm. do you feel as though work ethic is sort of dwindling? Because I've heard that echoed by many coaches throughout mm-hmm. this area.
Yeah, I think the difference is that I think cell phones and electronics have, social media, everything has changed the player. Because back then, all we wanted to do was to hoop and play basketball and work on our game. We didn't have all those other distractions. So I just put the time in being the best player I could. I went across town. If the game were on the west side, I would go on the west side. If they were on the south side, I would go to the south side. If they were on the east side, I'd go on the east side. I went wherever the games were, and I played all day. Today, you don't get them playing all day. They may play for an hour or two, and then they got other things to do. And that really bothers me on that side of it, because you got to have great love and passion for what you do if you're going to be great.
So true.
And so the part of my DNA was my work ethic, and that's what made me Magic, you know, quote unquote.
Magic, looking at the game today.
Okay. Fix this.
Okay.
Okay. While you're talking, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
All right.
Good.
Cool.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Magic, on kind of that same notion, looking at how the game is played today, you know, there are many who look at, especially the NBA, mm-hmm. and how the game is just called.
Right.
I mean, I missed the battles back mm-hmm. in the day, you know, with you guys in the 80s, mm-hmm. you and Larry and Isaiah going mm-hmm. at it. I mean, now, today's, I guess you should say, flagrant foul mm-hmm. was yesterday's just average foul.
Yeah.
Is the game getting too soft, Magic?
Yeah, it's starting to get too soft, yes, because now we're starting to protect the player almost too much. You know, yes, we need to protect the player, but also let the game also be the game. And what I mean by that is that, you know, sometimes we're protecting the superstars almost too much. So let the game play. We know when it gets too physical. We know when the call fouls, but let them play, because the fans want to see them play. And this is what we need in basketball, the rivalries to come back. What you just said, Magic versus Bird, Bird versus Dr. J, Isaiah versus Michael when the Chicago Bulls and the Pistons met.
Yeah.
Man, it don't matter if you were a Bulls fan or a Pistons fan, you were going to tune in because you knew you were going to see something great and special.
Exactly.
That's what we need to come back. Miami, San Antonio helped because they met for the last 2 years in the finals. But it needs to be more than that, right?
Definitely.
So that fan can say, wow, I can't wait for the Sunday matchup between the Knicks and the Lakers or the Knicks and Boston or whoever. So we need the rivalries. That's what's going to make the league and keep the league special and make the league special.
So true, Magic. Now, something I want to shift gears really quick here to a different tone.
Okay.
Now, as everybody's been talking about, I mean, this Ray Rice story has certainly gotten a lot of attention.
Right.
We saw the other day Greg Hardy of the Carolina Panthers. That was another domestic violence situation. Right. Even here locally with running back E.J. Jackson accused of raping a teenage girl last week, Tuesday. And I want to get your take on it because it's so alarming to see all of these cases happen at the same time.
Yeah.
What were your initial thoughts on that story when you first saw the video?
Well, I was just blown away. I was just, my mother, my father always taught me never put my hands on a woman. And I never have. I never even think about it or thought about it. And to see him, you know, Ray Rice, hit his, you know, fiance at that time, with his fist twice, it's just alarming. And so a man should never put his hands on a woman, never. And so I'm so happy that they changed it from two games to indefinite. So whenever he's, you know, able to come back, that's when he comes back. And then we have a couple other cases coming behind that. I've never seen so many young men back-to-back in cases of domestic violence. It's really alarming. So we're going to have to really get together and do something to educate. And maybe it has to start in high school or about, you know, not domestic violence, but about putting your hands as a man on a woman and vice versa, a woman putting her hands on a man. And so I think that we're going to have to start educating these young men about that. And so my advice to all young men out there is this. It's easy. When you get upset, you have an argument with your girlfriend, your wife, whoever, just walk away, take a long walk or take a long drive, you know, stay away for an hour or two, then come back. Everybody settled down. And I know my wife and I, we never go to bed. If we've had an argument, we always work it out.
Right.
And then we go to bed after that. But until we solve it, we don't go to bed. We want to make sure that she's good, I'm good. But you should never come to a point to cross a line that you have to put your hands on a woman. That's just not right. It will never be right. And I hope that other players learn from what happened to Ray, or other men. It's not just players, men, period.
Right.
What happened with this Ray Rice situation. And I hope that he learns and he can now get his life together with his wife. I'm glad she married him. Now, what can they do to go out and speak about it, to educate young men about it?
Certainly.
And it's going to be really important.
Gotcha. To wrap this up, Magic, just talk about why you're here, what you're doing with the cafeteria.
Well, it's what we're trying to do is we tried to come in and give the students of the Lansing School District fresh food, healthy food, but also variety of foods. And that's what they're really happy about.
Right.
The fact that they have 5, 6, 7 different choices for lunch. And one day they may like pizza, the next day it might be spaghetti, it might be a sandwich, it might be a salad.
Yeah.
But they have all these choices that they can have. And it tastes good. And so to get the feedback from the students at Pat Gill and the students here at Everett, and they're all happy, makes me feel good. Because I tell you what, it was so much pressure.
Was it? A lot of pressure on you?
Yeah. I wanted the deal, but also pressure came with the deal because, you know, I'm from here.
Yeah.
We got to perform well.
Expectations, baby.
Expectations were high. And so, but I'm happy that the students are very happy, and that's making me feel good.
I gotta love that. Again, that's my sit down with Magic Johnson over at Lansing Everett High School yesterday, as he was, of course, promoting the new food initiative over at Lansing Everett High School, Sodexo Magic. How about that? I appreciate Magic Johnson's time. All right, well, let's hit our second break of the show. When we come back, folks, it's Wednesday, and you know what that means on Current Sports. Yes, Barbershop Wednesday. When does discipline go too far? The Adrian Peterson case. Don't miss that. We'll be back in the blink of an eye. Welcome back to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. I just said we'll be black. What is wrong with me today? I can't talk today, Alex. All right. Well, you know what? It is Wednesday. Each and every Wednesday here on the show, we love to debate, discuss, and all of that jazz. We bring this segment called Barbershop Wednesday because, you know, every time you go into a barbershop, or at least my barbershop, everybody thinks that they are a sports expert. There's always some sort of debate in the world of sports going on. So we decided to bring that type of feel here to Current Sports each and every week. Here we go. Barbershop Wednesday, folks.
Yeah, I mean, we can't talk straight in the barbershop. Then where can we talk straight? We can't talk straight nowhere else. You know, this ain't nothing but healthy conversation.
Healthy conversation, Cedric. That's right. Tell him, my man. And today's healthy conversation concerns the Adrian Peterson case. When does discipline go too far? Oh, boy, this should be a good one. This should be a good one. And, you know, not only will Alex and I be debating about this, but we have an outstanding student who is working with us throughout this entire semester of, yes, I alluded to this a few days ago, the Journalism 418, a sports reporting course, and their students will be working with us day in and day out here on the radio show and TV show as well. And we have a student here to debate with us. First of all, introduce yourself. Tyler, my man, how you doing?
I'm all right, Al. How you doing today?
Very well. What year are you, Tyler? Give me your full name, year, and all of that stuff.
So I'm Tyler Beck. I'm a fifth-year senior. I'm studying journalism with a concentration in sports reporting. I actually started off in engineering. I think I told you that.
So yep.
I'm kind of a numbers guy.
So how did you transition from engineering to sports reporting?
It was tough. I realized that while I'm a numbers guy, calculus, I got really tired. I got all the way up to Calc 3, and I was like, you know what? I don't really like this that much. So if I'm, you know, busting my butt here and not willing to bust my butt here or motivated, then what is it going to be like out in the real world?
Right, exactly.
So I decided to find something that I was passionate about and wanted to work hard in, and I settled on journalism.
It's all about finding that passion, right? Well, Ty, we are I'm ecstatic to have you on to discuss this very interesting topic that's been going on for quite some time now. You ready to dive into it, Alex?
More than ready. Let's do it.
Well, the Minnesota Vikings, they announced earlier today that running back Adrian Peterson has been placed on the NFL's exempt list, barring him from all team activities until his child abuse case is resolved. Now, Peterson was indicted last week in Montgomery County, Texas, on a felony count of reckless negligent injury to a child. Now, the charge stems from a whipping incident that left bruises and wounds on his 4-year-old son. Now, Peterson's next scheduled court date is October 8th, unless he negotiates to have the matter resolved at an earlier date. Now, Montgomery County's first assistant district attorney, Phil Grant, said it could be several months before the case would go to trial. All right, gents. Well, first of all, I want to start at the very least. Let's kind of just chop this discussion up from the start of it to where it is now. First off, I want to get your guys' thoughts on when you first heard about this story and saw the pictures of Adrian Peterson's 4-year-old son. What did you think, Alex?
First of all, when you see the pictures, the lacerations and all that, it's not like he got smacked once or twice and then he just discovered that this was a proper punishment. I mean, the matter of fact that the lacerations were extreme. I mean, they were inch by inch by inch by inch. They were pretty extreme. That really left a different picture in my mind at the end of the day. The fact that it's not like it was one spot on the leg. It's not like it was a bruise where, you know, if you know how it goes when you punish a kid, if you spank the kid or whatever you do.
I hope not punch, but yeah, I got you.
But whatever you do, there's some kind of, you know, methodology behind it. But the pictures, I've never seen this bad of a punishment. I mean, and to take the switch, I mean, that's never been used by, I haven't heard anything.
Well,
like
let me,
that.
Okay. Well, let me, so, I have to intervene here. I will say this though, Alex. Me growing up, you know, I grew up I was raised really by my grandparents. My grandmother and my grandfather, they were really instrumental in my raising. And I tell you what, I remember countless incidents when I was growing up. Where, you know, because I was a bad kid. Let's be honest here. I was a bad kid.
You know, when I was like, I'm being honest with you guys. I keep it real on this show, man. Like 3, 4, 5 years old, I was not good. And I remember one incident where I hit my sister. Me and my sister grew up and grew up together. She was only a year under me, right? And, you know, we were playing around and I like hit her on the leg and my grandma saw me. And I'm like, oh, man, I know I'm in trouble now. So my grandmother's like, boy, you done did it now. And she like sends me outside, like in her backyard. She had a tree outside, right? And she says, okay, you go out there. And she gave me some scissors, which really didn't work. I mean, scissors to cut off a tree branch. But she said, go back in the backyard with these scissors and cut off a branch and bring it back. Bring me a switch, basically. So I go in the backyard. I'm like, oh, my gosh. I'm like sobbing right now. I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, I'm about to get my butt beat. And, you know, she made me go. I went out there and cut off a branch. I tried to find the smallest one, and that didn't work because the smaller ones are what hurt the most. But I went out there. I sawed off a branch and brought it back in the house. And I got you know, whooped with a switch. Now, it wasn't anything to the degree of where it left marks on my body or that thing. It wasn't skin-to-skin contact. She just, you know, hit me when I had my jeans on with it. So this is not new. I don't know if you guys have really been following, you know, some national commentators with this discussion or those many who have weighed in on this discussion. But, you know, guys like Charles Barkley and Chris Carter, you know, Charles Barkley actually sort of defended Adrian Peterson or tried to defend Adrian Peterson, I should say, because he brought up a point where, you know, going in the backyard and picking a switch is normal. That is normal for many, many people who grew up in the South or who grew up and were raised by old school parents. It happened all the time. My grandfather, my grandmother did it. Their grandparents did it. Their parents did it. I mean, it happened a lot. You know, for me, I mean, my grandmother, I mean, there were about, I would say offhand, maybe 5 or 6 times where I got my butt whipped with a switch. It's an old school mentality. Now, looking at Adrian Peterson's case here, first of all, for all the listeners out there, from my perspective, I won't tell you how to raise your kids. That is not my job. Every parent disciplines in different ways. And how that is perceived varies from person to person. So I want to be the first out there to say, I will not tell you how to discipline your children. That is, I couldn't even tell you how to do that, seeing as I don't even have a kid of my own. But I will say this, there is a fine line between discipline and abuse. Seeing pictures of a 4-year-old having lacerations and bruises, you obviously went too far with that. There is a fine line between abuse and telling your kid what's wrong from right. And that's the problem that I have with this Adrian Peterson story. Now, looking at Adrian Peterson, though, I mean, for me, I don't know about you guys. I mean, looking at his entire career, I've always looked at Adrian Peterson as an upstanding blue-collar player who's never had any really off-the-field troubles or so on and so forth. I don't know. I am really, really hesitant based on his past history. I am really hesitant to call Adrian Peterson a child abuser. I don't know if I would label that. I don't know if I would label him that right now, even though seeing the pictures, they are very alarming pictures. This story, it really rubs a lot of people the wrong way, including myself. Anytime I see pictures of that with a 4-year-old, I mean, he went too far, without a doubt. But I don't think his intent was malicious, seeing as though there is a history of this when it comes to certain people who grew up in the South and who have parents who are old school like that. And seeing as though Adrian Peterson's backdrop does not allude to any of that. And the NFL is really in uncharted territory because when have they ever had to deal with a situation like this? And seeing how they handle it now with this whole Ray Rice and domestic violence situation going on. Oh, boy, I would hate to be Roger Goodell. Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they kind of had to lay the hammer down on AP, especially when Minnesota, they deactivated him or took him off their roster for a little bit.
Exactly.
I agree. There is a fine line between discipline and abuse. I was raised in a much different household. I was blessed with some wonderful parents. I'm not going to say how to raise your kid. I mean, I'm 23 years old. Right. I have no experience with that.
We don't have any little Tylers or little Al's.
No. So my parents never laid their hands on me. I was taught the same thing like Magic Johnson said earlier, never lay your hand on someone. I think that there is an opportunity here to educate. And Adrian Peterson's a new parent too because, the 2-year-old and 4-year-old son?
Yeah, they're really young.
So I mean, it's a mistake and it's a bad one. It is. But you can't let this cycle of violence continue. You've got to break that cycle somehow.
Right. So that brings me to my next question, guys. Before we wrap up here with 4 minutes left in current sports, what should now happen to Adrian Peterson? If you were Commissioner Roger Goodell, which is hard to say. I mean, this is a man with a lot of responsibility, with a lot going on in his life right now concerning you, because he has to deal with this situation and also the domestic abuse situation that's going on with Ray Rice and Greg Hardy and so on and so forth. What do you think should happen to Adrian Peterson and why?
I think there has to be some kind of discipline. I mean, if it's a suspension for a certain number of games, I don't think it's going to be as extreme as other cases. It's not like I can't see him being dropped from the NFL in any way or being released from the team, but there has to be some discipline. I mean, looking at the Ray Rice, they're both abuse situations. So I think you kind of have to piggyback off whatever happens with Ray Rice and relate it somehow in some fashion to whatever that punishment will be as well.
Coupled with the Ray Rice situation. So you think the way they... I don't know, because I think those are just two different cases.
I mean, of course
though.
They're different. But
they're totally different.
But they're both in the abusing category of NFL punishment. So it's not like... I mean,
they're both dealing with some sort of...
Yeah, it's...
So can you label it as domestic abuse?
It's not a murder.
That's like...
It's not a PED. They're abuse situations.
Right, they are abuse situations.
You're laying a hand on someone. It doesn't matter. I mean, yeah, it's a woman and it's a child. You can even make the debate that they're both equally as bad, but regardless... They're very different, but it's still along in an abuse line.
I tell you what, if I'm the NFL, as far as punishment goes, you definitely have to fine him, I think. As far as him missing games...
You don't think there should be... I mean, if Ray Rice is missing games...
Yeah, as I'm saying, as far as missing games, I'm trying to equate it to how many games he would miss. That's the thing about it. That's the thing that's up for debate right now, because... With a situation where you have Ray Rice, who, again, is suspended indefinitely, I think really the NFL right now is sort of kind of this is an interesting situation, because they're kind of making the rules up now as they go. As the situation now has ensued with this, because this is uncharted territory. Both of them are uncharted territory. They realize they really messed up with just a two-game suspension for Ray Rice, and now are revamping that. And now a situation like this comes along where it's like, okay, what do we do? This is another uncharted territory story. As far as how many games you should miss, right now you have to suspend them until you, I guess, enact a set curriculum on how to handle a situation like this. I think that's what you got to do.
I think it's one of those situations where they're a star athlete, and yes, it is their livelihood, and that's how they make their money, but you got to make sure they take care of their personal life first before they can come back to the game and make sure they're okay there so it doesn't happen again.
I agree. Some sort of counseling certainly should be in that curriculum as well. Hey, thanks a lot, Tyler. Great job. First time on air, right?
No.
No? Oh, you've been on air. Okay. You see, you're a pro at that. I knew it was you're a pro at
this, man.
No problem. All right. Well, thanks a lot, everybody, for tuning in to today's Current Sports. Again, folks, same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR East Lansing and 90.5 WKAR FM. HD3 East Lansing. As always, take care. We'll have Trevor Manuel on the show tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. Ronald Mann will join me on Friday. Still a packed week, folks. Have a fantastic hump day, and be easy, people.